Welcome to the Painesville Assembly of God podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending us an email at info@painesvilleag.com. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Today, I'm very excited. We're in part four of our series, I Choose. And in case you haven't been here, essentially what we've been talking about is choices. We've been talking about the impact that choices have on our lives, how important the choices we make are, because essentially we are today the sum total of the decisions that we make. I mean, think about it. We're the result of the choices we've made in the past. Where you are today, who you are today, is a result of some of the choices that you have made. Certainly that's not all of it, but that's a big part of it. And who you're going to be tomorrow, how you respond to the things today, is going to impact who you become tomorrow. And so choices that you make today can have an impact on that can last you into the future. And so for the last 4 weeks, we've been talking about some specific choices. And today I want to introduce our fourth and final choice today. Next week, we're going to begin a new series that we're calling Awesome Relationships. Awesome Relationships. And so if you're in needing some help in any kind of relationships that it is, we're going to be beginning next week a series on relationships. Valentine's Day and those kind of things kind of bring that about. And so feel that we need to address that subject. But today we're going to address the fourth choice today. And I want to begin with a question. How many of you would say, you know what, I just really wish I had more time to do something that was important to me? Anybody? Some of you are lying. You just didn't want to raise your hands and participate. Man, I just wish I had more time. Anybody? I just wish I had, if I only had more time. And, maybe I need more time to rest, or I need more time to vacation or to read or spend time with my kids. Maybe I need more time to golf, even though it's freezing outside right now, or to fish or something like that. Whatever it is, you say, man, I really wish I had more time. If you're like most people, you say, you know what, I don't have time to do that. I've got to shovel the driveway. I've got to mow the yard. I've got to do the dishes. I've got chores to complete. I've got a project at work to do. I've got bills to pay. I've got kids to raise. I got to get caught up and make sure my Instagram or Facebook post caption is perfect. You know, something like that. A guy by the name of Charles E. Hummel, he wrote a book back in the 80s called The Tyranny of the Urgent. And in it, Hummel writes this: have you ever wished for a 30-hour day? A 30-hour day. How many wish you had a 30-hour day? You had 6 more hours in every day. Yeah, 6 more hours. He said, surely this extra time would relieve the tremendous pressure under which we live. Our lives would leave a trail of unfinished tasks. Unanswered letters, unvisited friends, unread books haunt the quiet moments when we stop to evaluate what we've accomplished. We're in desperate need of relief, he said, but would that longer day really solve our problem? And that's the question he leaves. Would that longer day really solve our problem? Wouldn't we soon just be as frustrated as we are with our 24-hour allotment? And I often think that the truth is that you and I, no matter how many hours we'd be given, we'd find some way to make choices and decisions, and it would still seem as if we just simply don't have enough time. Because the problem is not necessarily a shortage of time. It actually goes deeper than that. It's basically a problem of priorities. It's a problem of priorities. It's not a shortage of time. In fact, time is the great equalizer. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're white or black or yellow or brown or whatever color you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, what your gender is. It doesn't matter who you are. It's the same. We've all been given the same amount of time. Every one of us, 24 hours in a day. Every one of us have been given that to allot, that to steward, that to use. And so it's really not a matter of our time. It's a matter of our priorities. And I have to be careful. If I'm honest, this is a struggle for me. I'm preaching to myself this morning. Can I just be honest with you? I'm preaching to myself this morning because here's what happens. What happens is oftentimes our life and our time begins to be caught up in the things that are urgent, and we never can get to the things that are important. You know what I'm talking about? Things come up and it's urgent. I have to do that. I have to do it. This is urgent. I have to take care of this. This is urgent. I really wish I could get to that, but I just can't ever seem to get to that because all of the urgent things in life just keep pulling at me. And one of the things that I think we often respond to when somebody says, "How are you doing?" And I know I find myself saying this, "How are you doing?" "Boy, I'm so busy." Anybody ever said that before? In fact, I don't think I've ever said or I've ever heard anybody say when somebody said, "How you doing?" "Man, I'm just chilling. I'm so relaxed. I got all the time in the world." Unless perhaps somebody that's retired. I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing you. "I got all the time in the world." You know, I can't prove this from a theological standpoint, but I've heard it said, and I think it's true, that if Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. If Satan can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. He'll make you busy doing things that don't really matter. He'll pull you in all kinds of different directions that seem so urgent and seem like, "I got to do that. I don't have time for that. I got to do that." And you'll get away from the things that are really, truly important because you're pulled by things that seem to be so urgent. "How are you doing?" "I'm busy." And so here's the truth statement today. Here's the choice today that I want to focus on that we need to make in the short time that I have left. Here's the choice we need to make. I actually have time for what I choose to have time for. I want you to let that settle in. Yeah, I want you to think about it and say it to yourself. I actually have time for what I choose to have time for. The bottom line is we've each been given the same number of hours in a day, but every one of us makes different choices on how we use that time. Every one of us has choices to make. And I'll be honest with you, I would like to wrestle with that, but the truth is I do choose how I use my time. I am in control. Nobody else is truly in control. I'm in control, and my choices certainly have consequences one way or the other. But the bottom line is, if I really want to get a handle on my priorities, I've got to make the excuses go away. I've got to stop placing the blame, and I have to take ownership of the choices that I make. I have to take ownership of my own choices. You know, the problem is that when we start choosing the urgent over the important, we never really get to the important. We don't really get to it. In fact, the choice is I'm choosing the important over the urgent. I like to read some leadership material, and one author who's kind of a marketing guru that sometimes I read, and I've heard him actually speak in person at a leadership conference. His name is Seth Godin. I don't know how many have heard of Seth Godin. He's kind of one of these, they call them thought leaders or something like that. I don't know what a thought leader is, but that's what they kind of describe him as, a thought leader. I don't know what a thought leader, maybe you're smarter than me and you know what a thought leader is. I don't have time. I just don't choose time to like think and be a thought leader. But this is what he said. He said, "If you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent." If you choose what is important, you won't deal with as many things that are urgent. However, the flip side, the opposite is never true. If you're only choosing the things that are urgent, you're not going to be faced with important things. You're not going to be faced with important things. For instance, if your car engine needs repairing because you didn't change the oil on it, getting your car engine repaired is urgent. But changing the oil on time is important. You know what I'm saying? "Well, I just can't get to that. I can't get to changing that. I just don't have time." But all of a sudden, when it's urgent and your car's about ready to break down, now you have time to get it fixed. But if you would have changed the oil on time, you wouldn't be in the position of losing all of those hours. You see, when we choose the urgent over the important, we never really get to the important, and it actually costs us more time. You know, Jesus is a great example of someone who had a very full plate, but yet maximized his very short life and 3.5 year ministry to be very effective. In John 17:4, Jesus prayed this. This was his prayer. This was what he said about himself. "I brought glory on earth by finishing the work you," talking to his heavenly Father, "gave me to do." Finish the work. Jesus said the work that he came to do, he completed. Now, how did Jesus do that? How did he do that? I mean, Mark reports how busy Jesus was, a very busy day. And it says this, that evening after the sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and all the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. Now, how many of you know that's a busy day? On another occasion, Mark also shares that Jesus was so busy, he and his disciples, they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't even have time to eat. In fact, in Mark chapter 3, 20 and 21, his family was so concerned about him, they came to try to say, Jesus, you must be out of your mind. You're not even taking care of yourself. You're so busy. At least that's what they thought. In another strenuous teaching session after it, Jesus and his disciples left the crowd. They boarded a boat, and a furious storm came up. Mark 4, 35 through 38 says, a furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat, so it nearly swamped it. And through that entire thing, you know where Jesus was? He was asleep. He was just tired. Jesus was a busy guy. You say, I'm a busy person. I got a busy schedule. I don't think you're busier than Jesus was. Okay? And I don't think that your mission and what you're out to do, no matter what it is and how important your job is, that it was more important than what Jesus came to do. Can we just settle on that and agree on that? If you can't agree on that, you have pride in your life and you need to be humbled. All right? Jesus had the most important work to be done. All right? None of us are busier than Jesus. And I've got to say that when we picture this and we see this feverish life of Jesus, we go, well, how did he finish everything that came? What happened? What was it? How did he have this sense of time? Timing? What was it? In John 7, 6, we get a wonderful balance. We get a picture of a wonderful balance of Jesus where his brothers urged him to go to Jerusalem, and yet Jesus set some boundaries and made some choices in his life to choose what was important over what everybody else thought was urgent. In fact, John 7, 6, Jesus replied, the right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. In other words, you'll go and do anything, but for me, I know the timing. I know the timing. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know the kind of timing I'm supposed to have. In fact, in John chapter 4, we see that Jesus would spend time like he did with the Samaritan woman at the well for hours talking and working her through a spiritual journey and path. Jesus wasn't in a hurry. In fact, I was reading this morning about a guy who was the leader of the tabernacle who came to Jesus and said, my daughter is very ill. She's going to die. Will you come and heal her? Jesus is making his way to his house and to heal his daughter. And along the way, a lady who had an issue that she had been dealing with for many, many years, an issue of blood, it says, came and she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be healed. And she did. She touched Emma's garment and she was healed. And rather than Jesus just continue on his way when he recognized that power had gone out, he paused. He was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter, but he paused for a moment and made a choice. And that choice was to turn around and acknowledge this woman and say, daughter, your faith has healed you. Now, Jairus' daughter passed away. She died. People came and said, don't bother the teacher anymore. She's dead. But Jesus was not in a hurry. He said, oh, no, no, no. She's not dead. Just have faith. Just have faith. She's just sleeping. Everybody laughed at him. He's just sleeping. He cast those people that are laughing. Get out of the way. Get out of here. Brought a few in with him. They prayed. And she was raised to life. Why? Jesus knew what his heavenly Father had called him to do. He knew what his heavenly Father had called him to do. He never got frazzled. He didn't get frazzled. He wasn't forced or pushed to do anything. Even when people wanted to force him to be king, he would slip away before his time. He always knew his timing, and Jesus made choices based on that. And sometimes those choices seemed to lack compassion. One time he had spent an entire night in prayer. He had been in prayer, spending an entire night in prayer. It had been a busy day. His disciples were embarrassed. They came looking for him, and they said, Jesus, the crowds are here to heal you. Where are you going? And he said, you know what? There are other people that also need healing. We're going to go to another village. Wait a minute, there's all these people. You've done many miracles. People have come. What do you mean go to another place? Jesus wasn't pushed or forced to do anything that he didn't spend time in prayer and know what his heavenly Father had called him to do. He knew how to choose what was important over what was urgent. And we see another story. It's found in Luke chapter 10, a story of two sisters named Mary and Martha. How many of you know this story? Mary and Martha. You know about Mary and Martha. They were Jesus was friends with their brother Lazarus. He often came into town. He would stay at their house. They would invite him in. Luke chapter 10, 38 through 40 talks about some of these choices. Jesus begins to confront the situation, and he's going over their house. And in verse 38, it says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, this is a familiar story. It pictures two sisters with two very different responses, two very different personalities, in fact, I would say. Martha's feeling the pressure to put on the nice dinner, to make the making busy preparations, making all the preparations. She's busy. If you were to ask Martha, "Hey, Martha, can I talk with you? Hold on a minute, I'm busy. Maybe later on, I'm busy. I got to get everything ready. I'm busy. There's a lot to be done. There's a lot going on. I'm busy." And where was her sister Mary? She wasn't helping at all. And depending on your personality and knowing the story before I get to the conclusion, some of you may not know this story, others of you know it very well, and you're already wrestling and you're already, depending on your personality, identifying, "I'm Martha, I'm Mary, I can see it. I don't know what Mary's doing. She just needs to take a break. She just needs to take it easy. You know, do what Mary's doing, man. She's just taking it in." And some of you who are Martha's are going, "You know what, Mary does need to help. She's lazy. You know, come on. What's wrong with her? That's why she's a sinful woman that she is. She needs to get it together and quit going on all these emotions," right? I mean, I know the kind of challenges. Why? Because I feel it. I'm probably sympathetic to Martha. I can find myself sliding into the Martha, all right? I'll just be honest with you. That's a lot of times that pulls the urgent for me is all of the to-do lists. It's all of the busy. It's all the preparations. It's all the things that need to get done. The calendar is full. Lots of people have need. There's lots of things to do. There's lots of things to happen. But oftentimes in the busy, being distracted and stressed, we can miss the important. And that's what Jesus brings out in here. Jesus talks about what is really important. And so as we look a little bit, Martha's kind of freaking out a little bit, and she's distracted with all the preparations. And the end of verse 40 says this: she came to him, meaning Jesus, and she asked, "Lord, don't you care my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Martha kind of tattles a little bit. "Hey, Jesus, you know, you're here teaching, and I mean, it's great and all. This is wonderful and all, but, you know, a woman's place is helping me in the kitchen, all right?" Oh, I didn't say that. All right? Different culture, all right? Don't get mad at me. Don't throw any eggs at me, all right? But, you know, I mean, that the men were there. They were in there. They were to hear the teaching. What's Mary doing? Why is she in there with all the men? What's she doing sitting at Jesus' feet? Listen to him teach. There's all this stuff, all these preparations, all these things to do. Mary needs to help me. Hey, Jesus, if she's going to listen to anybody, because she's not listening to me. I mean, she's my sister. You know how these sister things go. She never listens to her older sister. I don't know what it is, you know, about that. I've been like a mom to her whole life, and she's not listening to me. So, Jesus, talk some sense into her. Would you tell her to get up and help me? Right? She's kind of tattling. I don't know. Maybe I'm adding some things to the story here. I'm not sure. You decide. I kind of think it was something like that. I like to read into that. Luke chapter 10, 41 and 42, though, tells Jesus' response. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen," look at this, what is better, "and it will not be taken from her." Man, what Jesus tells Martha is really, really important for us to get here. And it's a response about her choices and her priorities. Her choices and priorities. His response kind of stings, but the point here is clear. Martha was missing something more important because she was distracted and worried about the urgent. And she was missing the important. And what was the important? Jesus, the Son of God, had come into their home, and she hadn't taken time to be in his presence. She didn't take the time to prioritize the relationship and the opportunity to have that relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that the preparations she was making were not important. I'm sure they were very important. Those things are very important. We cannot neglect those things. But to the point of being so distracted and so stressed about those things, she was missing out on the very presence of God. And there are some of us that miss out on the presence of God. We're so busy. We're so busy in our lives. We're so busy with all of the urgent things that come up because of some choices that we have made, or we feel that we need to make, or we feel that society says is important because we have to have well-rounded children, and we have to do this in order to exceed in our career, in order to succeed, in order to do this. And if I can just make another level of money for my family, if I can get up to them, we'll have more time together. I can take more time because we'll have more things, but those things will take maintenance, and that job, that new position that I get in is going to take more of my time because my cell phone won't stop ringing because I'm very important now and people need to get a hold of me, and I can't do. And you know what? We say, if I just get here, if I just get to this level in my position, if I just get to this here, if I can just do this, then it'll all change. Friends, it won't change because it's a pattern. It's a pattern of priorities. The urgent will always pull at you. And there will always be urgent things that pull. But when we prioritize the urgent over the important, our relationships suffer. Our relationships with each other and our relationship with God. And what Jesus is sharing with Mary and Martha here is an important principle about the fact that when you prioritize the important, the urgent things start to go away. When you begin to prioritize what's important, you have more time for the relationships in your life. And those are the things that will last. Those are the things that will last. I mean, when we talk about putting Jesus first, some of us sometimes, we don't understand this investment in relationships, and we'd say, I'm so busy doing for my children, I haven't had time to actually enjoy them. I haven't had time to really invest in them. Some of you, if you're honest, you say, my whole life kind of revolves around my kids, you know, and I've kind of neglected my marriage because I've prioritized all of the things with the kids, and we're so busy doing all the things that the kids do that we don't even know each other in our marriage. We're like ships passing in the night, and we don't even know our anybody anymore. You know, one of the biggest times where divorce takes place is after the kids leave the house, because the parents spend so much time either prioritizing the job or the kids over everything else that they've lost that relationship with each other. They don't even know each other anymore. Don't let that happen. That's what happens when we take urgent and we don't prioritize the important, when we neglect one another. So I want to give you just a couple of short things here. Three practical thoughts here. Real quick, and I know I got a short amount of time, so I'm going to hit these real hard and real quick, all right? First is this, and these are some leadership time management principles, but I believe they're also biblical principles that will help you today. I want to give you some practical today. Number one is this: create artificial deadlines. Create artificial deadlines. Boy, that sounds so spiritual, doesn't it? You know, what's a fake deadline? It's just what it is. It's a fake deadline. I do this all the time. I do this when I'm preparing my messages. I am not a Saturday night at midnight preparer of my messages, in case you haven't been able to tell. All right? I don't do that. I create an artificial deadline. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to me early on in the week, Wednesday, Thursday at the latest. I believe the Holy Spirit can speak to me about what He wants to share in here then, just as much as He can speak to me in my prayer time on Sunday mornings. All right? Sometimes He adjusts things and gives me a little bit more, but God can speak to me then. Why? Because I don't want to be stressed out. Because why? Because I believe sharing the Word of God with you is important. And if it's important, it's important for me to spend enough time ahead of time in preparation. But that won't happen if I allow all the urgent. So sometimes I will tell you, if you call, I'm sorry, I can't meet with you on Thursday or on Wednesday at this time. Why? I have an appointment. You know what my appointment is? My appointment is with God. Amen. It's not that your need isn't important. I will meet, we'll get together. We'll do that. But I have time I set aside in my calendar and deadlines ahead of time. Why? Because if I don't do that, then this will be a fly-by-night operation, and I realize that the urgent will steal away from what's really important. And in your life, that's an example from my life. You're not a pastor, you don't, but in your life, you do this. Think about it. You do this in your life. You say, when do I do this? How do I do this? When you're getting ready to go out of town or on vacation and you have a very short, like 3 days out of your 5-day work week or 6-day work week, you have 3 days to get all of that done. How many of you know you figure out how to get all of it done? Why? because you prioritize the important things that absolutely have to be done over the urgent things. You make choices, and all of a sudden, out of that 5-6 days, you can get it done in 2-3 days, and it's done, and you're like, wow, why? Because it caused you to have to delegate more. It caused you have to say, do I really need to do this? Is this really important? Oh, I'm sorry. Is this meeting really that urgent? You know what? I can get to that when I get back. It helps you to we do this. So I want to encourage you, begin to think about your schedule, lay it out, and create some artificial deadlines for yourself. It'll help you. It'll help you. Secondly, be selective in your yeses. Be selective in your yeses. What do I mean by this? You can't say yes to everything. You can't do it. We all have 24 hours. You can't say yes. What you say yes to, as I said before a couple of weeks ago, you end up saying no to. You need to be incredibly careful and prayerful about what you say yes to. In fact, I would argue with you with all of my heart. I'd argue with you today that the barrier for most people today, the barrier to a meaningful life, is not a lack of commitment. It's overcommitment. It's not a lack of commitment, it's overcommitted. Because when I'm overcommitted, then I can't keep the other commitments because I've said yes to too many things. I've said yes to too many things. The barrier in life is not what you're committed to, it's what you're overcommitted. Way, way, way overcommitted. Busy, overwhelmed. Understand this. Busyness does not necessarily equal productivity. Busyness does not necessarily equal meaning. Busyness does not necessarily equal fulfillment in life. In fact, instead of adding to your to-do list, some of you need to start a to-don't list. You don't. You need to start a to-don't list. In fact, some of the people that do this very well, they start a to-don't list and they say, I don't need to do this and I don't need to do this and I really need to go through and figure out what I don't really need to do. A to-don't list. That'll help some of you. And thirdly this morning, and this is where we're going to get spiritual again, do first what matters most. Do first what matters most. Because oftentimes we end up saying things like, if I ever slowed down long enough, then I would do this. What is this? What is that? What is that? The problem is we never ever getting those things because we don't do what matters most first. And Jesus in Luke's text talked about the fact that one of the purest temptations and one of those kind of things is time with Jesus. He said to Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted, but Mary has chosen what is better. What was better? Mary had chosen to spend time with Jesus. Friends, if I could rabbit trail for a moment, I'm going to tell you that you will not really get right the priorities in your life and understand what you ought to say yes to and what you ought to allow to lead your heart if you don't spend time with Jesus. If you don't spend time letting Jesus help you filter through what is really most important from what is urgent, and you do that by putting Jesus first. You do that by putting His presence first. You do that by getting in His presence. This is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did. I alluded to it earlier, and I knew I had it in my notes, and I didn't know if I had time to get to it, and I probably don't, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's that important. All right? So just hang in with me. I will be done. Mark 1, 32 and 34. The evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases, drove out many demons, but He would not let the demons speak because they knew who He was. This is an important task. Important work, healing, setting people free. What does He do next? Mark 1, 35 through 38. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for Him. When they found Him, they exclaimed, everyone's looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I have come. How did Jesus know where He was supposed to go next? How did He know that although those were those needs that seemed urgent, they weren't what the Father had directed or planned for His life? How did He know that? Because after a busy time of ministry, late into the evening, Jesus chose to prioritize getting in the presence of God first. Some of us say, I just don't have time for devotions. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time to pray. You know why? Because you don't put it first and all the urgent things in your day come. And then before you know it, I just didn't have time to get to that today. But if it's really important to put Jesus first, or to have Jesus present in your life and His Word present, then you've got to prioritize it and do it first. Do what matters most first. What matters most first. Jesus understood this. And that's why in Matthew 6:33, and I'm going to close with this, Jesus said this, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know what the principle here is? This is a biblical principle. When you prioritize what Jesus says is important, when you prioritize Jesus, His presence, His kingdom, His righteousness, guess what? All those other things that you think are so important that you need to get to, you'll be able to filter through those. And what's truly important, He will say, all these things will be added to you as well. All these things. But you know what it comes down to? Because this is where the wrestling's coming on. Some of you are wrestling with this right now. But here's what it comes down to. Faith. Faith. Do you really trust that if you prioritize what Jesus wants first, that He'll be able to take care of all the other things that you think are so urgent that you can't seem to find time for? Man, some of you are just prioritizing. You're so successful at work. You're so on that. Now I have to do that, and it relies on me, and we got to do. And you wonder why your marriage is struggling, your family is struggling. We got to do. Put Jesus first. And see if He won't bless you in work. Amen. See if He won't multiply your time like He multiplied the bread and the fishes. Amen. See if He won't allow you to invest in the relationships that are most, that you find that when you come home, man, I'm so stressed at work, and then I come home, and man, all we got to do is fight in our marriage, and I don't understand what's going on in the kids, and I don't know what's going on. And then you're chasing things. You're chasing kids that are rebelling and kids that are moving on and all this kind of stuff. You're chasing your marriage and trying to figure out if it's even worth it to stay in it. But you know what? You can't prioritize your wife until you prioritize Christ in your life. You can't prioritize what God wants for your kids if you don't know what God wants for your life, for you. You got to put Jesus first, and all these things will be added to as well. You won't know how to steward your finances if you don't first learn what God wants you to put first in your finances. You don't put God first in those areas, you can't expect for the other areas to come in alignment. It all starts by prioritizing what Jesus wants. And that comes from relationship, not religion. It comes from learning how to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Taking the choice that Mary made and learning to sit back and come to a solitary place and sit at the feet of Jesus, which is better. To come like Jesus did early in the morning and hear from the Heavenly Father, and He will direct you from what is urgent to what is important. He will begin to prioritize so that you can choose the important over the urgent. But it begins with prioritizing Jesus in your life. And that will take faith, because it will go against your natural inclination. Because your natural inclination is for you to take control because you know best. How's that working for you? So today, our fourth choice, we choose the important over the urgent. Let's bow our heads tonight. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is life. Your Word is healing. And we have a very real enemy that Jesus, You said, is a thief. He comes to steal, He comes to kill, and He comes to destroy. And he has been a thief. He has been stealing fulfillment. He has been stealing purpose. He has been stealing away things that You desire for our lives. He's been stealing away the life that You desire to give us. And He's been doing that by making us busy. He's been doing that by pulling at us of all of the urgent. But oh, Lord, Your Word said, Jesus, that You have come to give life and give it abundantly. And so this morning, Lord, we choose. This morning, we choose the important, and that is You. That is time in Your presence. We choose to come and allow You to give us wisdom and allow You to direct our lives and direct our path. We come, Lord, and allow You to help us that we would begin to see what is important, and we would respond less to the urgent and more making choices for what is important, so that truly we can fulfill the work that You have called us to do, the plan and the purpose for our lives. We rebuke the thief in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord, to begin to show us what's important. Show us what's important in our lives.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are encouraged and strengthened by God's Word. For more information about Painesville Assembly of God, please visit PainesvilleAG.com.